I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. On your Thursday evening, it's a Charlton Live special because the Addicts have announced their brand new manager, Nigel Adkins, has joined the club on a 2.5-year deal. We'll be chatting about his arrival. We're going to hear from the new boss. We're also going to hear from the owner, Thomas Sandgaard. And of course, look ahead to the game with AFC Wimbledon and briefly look back at the 3-2 win over Bristol Rovers on this week's pods. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me on the show this week to discuss our new arrival in the dugout. First up, Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Oh, yeah, boys.
Yeah,
all good, mate.
Yeah.
Different. Obviously, it feels like ages since I spoke to him. Was it Monday, wasn't it? Or Tuesday. But good. Happy with things are going. On to Saturday, next 10 games. Here we go.
Yeah, excited.
So we finish top. Oh, mate, 100%. If people do, you know, if people read up on it, it's going to be good, mate. Heard it here first.
Excellent stuff. And also joining us to discuss the arrival of Nigel Adkins at the Valley is Mr. Lewis Cat. How you doing, Lou? How are you feeling about the new manager?
Yeah, positive, mate, to be honest. Been a bit of a roller coaster week, hasn't it? You know, Bow going, massive negative, then the win on Tuesday, and then a new manager today. So it's been very up and down. But yeah, like Nath, I'm fairly excited by it. I'm feeling pretty positive, yeah.
Excellent stuff. So let's hear from Nigel Adkins straight away, shall we? The Addicts boss, the new Addicts boss, only announced this morning, had his press conference this afternoon, and he was asked what it was about the Addicts that tempted him back into management after 2 years out of the game.
First of all, I didn't want to leave Hull. I think that was made publicly clear at the time. You know, I wanted to see if we could dream to get back to the Championship, to the Premier League. So I made a decision, having been offered a contract there, to, you know, to leave on good terms. And from my point of view, going back to the Premier League, I wanted to be in a Championship club that could give us ourselves the opportunity. So I was getting offered jobs in League One and League Two and abroad. And there was two clubs in the Championship that we were very close to joining, but COVID gave everybody a big problem. So from my point of view, when, you know, Thomas got in touch, Jed Roddy got in touch, it was the vision for the football club was really exciting. So, and it's happened very, very quickly. So from my point of view, it's the right time. It's the right vision. Now we've got a lot of work to do, you know, and I might not be here when we get to that situation further down the line, but it's really exciting that can be part of the process to help build, get the building blocks in place and say the pathway for the youngsters. But, you know, the academy here has been excellent. And what we've got to do is make sure we keep driving that on and make sure we've got a good process that's in place. You know, we want to get the Valley full of supporters, but they want to enjoy watching the football as well. So we want to try and play a way that is enjoyable to watch. However, you've got to win as well, you know, so you might want to be expansive and exciting, but if you're getting beat every week, there is a problem. So you've got to get that fine balance. So there is short-term situations, but the long-term side of it is there's a great vision. You know, it's in place. You know, there's no time frame, but there's a vision. So it's great. We know where we're going. Getting the environment right, getting the culture right, recruiting the right way, developing your own, you know, and embracing the community. You know, it's the supporters football club. They've had some real challenging times over the last, you know, few years. So now there's, you know, like everybody, we need a little bit of hope, a little bit of something to look forward to. There's no time frame. However, like everything, we live in a world that we want everything yesterday. But if we can do the right process, if we can put the building blocks in place, if we can surround ourselves with good people, if we can make it an environment where people can flourish, can learn, not be fearful of making mistakes, and all be together, you know, together everyone achieves more. It could be really exciting. And, you know, in the COVID world that we live in, sometimes it's nice to have a smile on our faces and have something to look forward to.
And in terms of the short-term vision, 10 matches left to play. I mean, automatic promotion seems a little bit far off at the moment, but is the target to stay in these playoff places?
Well, listen, having been promoted four times myself, or three times to this division, I know that when you get to the last 10 games of the season, you know, you might be top of the league or second in the league, or you're chasing the players. And we just need another game. And there's strange results. And likewise, there's teams below us in the league have got maybe two, three, four games in hand to play. However, we know what it's like when you play Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, every three games. It can, one injury can really affect your group. Fatigue can affect your group. So maybe we've played more games. It gives us an opportunity to be fresh, maybe going into some of the games. And likewise, we've got the teams above us to go and play. So it's an exciting time. You know, maybe at the start of the season, Charlton Athletic nearly went out of existence. I'm sure everybody at the start of the season would have loved to have been in this situation right now. You know, and it's exciting what the future could hold. So let's remember, you know, where it's been and just see if we can just bring the best we've got every day and just give it our best shot in the short term, mindful of the long term, where we want to get to, and putting the building blocks in place to try and make it really exciting in the future for Charlton Athletic.
And as you said, you've been in this situation before. You've got sides out of this division with 10 matches left to play. What is the key when it comes to making sure you're there or thereabouts come that final day of the season?
Well, it helps if you've got your players available for selection. It helps with the fit. It helps with the fresh. You know, that's a big thing, your key players. Listen, defence wins championships, goals wins games. You've got to be good at both. You need a bit of fortune along the line. You might need a decision to go your way. You've got to get momentum. It's great to get momentum going into, especially the playoffs. So going on that run, I know when we got promoted out of this division with Scunthorpe United via the playoffs. You know, we were beaten in the Johnson's Plate Trophy final 6 weeks before the last game of the season. You know, we could have gone out, but we kept the momentum. We won the last game of the season to be in the playoffs. Then we beat MK Dons. Then we beat Millwall at Wembley. And then we get promoted to the Championship, which is great. It's about momentum. It's about belief. I watched a little bit on the Valley Pass the other night of the game. They've gone 2-0 down. The resilience and the character. Johnny Jackson did a great job at keeping the team. You know, they just lost the manager and Johnny's kept them all together and you could see the spirit amongst them. The captain, Pierce, I saw one incident where he's jumped up and for a header, another header, he's had to go and dominate and win. But he's landed awkwardly on his ankle. He's gone off the pitch for a bit of treatment, but he's hobbled back on. And then he's headed the next three or four headers. The warrior spirit that you need. And you could see that amongst the players. You know, against all things, they could have easily lost it. Great save by Ben Amos in goal. Keeps them in it. You know, a bit of fortune maybe. Ball gone past the post. But they rallied around each other. So there's a spirit amongst the players, which is great. And that can take you a long way. There's goals in the team. We try and keep some clean sheets and just add that bit of fortune. You just never know.
That's the new Charlton manager then, Nigel Adkins, speaking to the press this morning. Obviously, his full press conference will be available on Valley Pass probably by now. So make sure you check that out. But joins the club. You know, he's got promotions from this division under his belt, as we heard there. He's got promoted three times, I think twice with Scunny, is it? And once with Southampton from this league, and then he got promoted again with Southampton. What are we saying? Are we overwhelmed, underwhelmed, or are we whelmed, Nathan? How are we?
I'm sweet with that. I mean, we spoke on the other day about it, didn't we? Looking at the list of names, and in my opinion, I didn't want the jackets of the Harrises or the, you know, or hopefully not the Cowleys. And I think we've just got to sit back sometimes and realise where we are. And I think it's a good appointment. I know he's been out of the game in a while, but you know, you don't become a bad manager out, you know, overnight. A lot of fans like him. He comes well with good regards from other teams and staff. And like you said, he's been promoted. He's a positive person. Before I even, you know, he came on the scene, I've looked at a few of his videos on Twitter, which, I mean, I know it sounds a bit cringy, but some of the positive mindset he does, like he does things like you do three things a day and stuff like that, which I've actually used, not every day, but he's actually quite inspiring in a way. Not blowing his trumpet too much, let him settle in first. But no, I'm really impressed. And you look at the names that he's worked with. I mean, he rattled a few off on the Valley Pass thing on the interview, and he's got good pedigree. He brings youth players in. I think At one stage, he brought 10 youth products through the system. Names of that you'll probably recognise is Michael Hector, who's at Fulham, Jake Cooper, who's at the other lot down the road, Jack Stacey. You know, he oversaw the development of James Ward-Prowse, Luke Shaw, Jack Stevens. So he's got a good pedigree, and he's at a right club to develop the youth. I'm not saying he's going to come in and put Aaron Henry centre midfield on Saturday. Of course, he might do, but I just think it's a good platform, and it's a good fit, and I think that's what Thomas was looking for. So yeah, I'm actually quite excited how it goes. I think it's good. Obviously, we were sort of, me and Tom and probably others were looking towards more next season, but yeah, we're in a position now where we could possibly do something. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not going to get too excited. But yeah, it's positive. It's a step in the right direction. And I'm quite glad that it's been done. And obviously, if Jacko stays, it's also another positive. So I reckon it's good, positive. Keep the positive mind frame. And I think we're going to be all right, mate.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. Lewis, what's been your initial reaction then to Nigel Adkins joining today? Obviously, we saw him, you know, very low in the odds ever since sort of yesterday. And announced finally today. Is this does this tickle your pickle?
Well, yeah, exactly that. I think similar to Nath, really. I think it's a positive manager to bring in, really. You see a lot of his social media presence. He's quite an inspiring guy. Did an incredible job at Southampton and at Scunthorpe. Came through as a physiotherapist, didn't he? I remember that being like a well-documented story. And I think he'll work really well within our football club. He's a very positive manager with you know, a really ambitious mindset, which is similar to Thomas, really. I think in terms of characteristics, him and Thomas are very similar. They've both got the same ambition, the same drive. They're both fairly positive people. So in Sandgaard's eyes, I think it's the perfect appointment. I think that now that it's been confirmed Johnny Jackson's staying, that's another incredible positive, and not just for us, but for him as well, because I think he'll really develop even more as an assistant manager and as a coach under someone with Nigel's experience of promotions and promotion to the Premier League and developing young players. And all in all, I think it suits all parties. We've got an experienced manager with a credible CV at this level that's going to promote the youth team, which we're so proud of at this football club. And also develop a young manager that we were kind of dreading would go with Lee to Birmingham. Luckily, that isn't the case. I think we were all fairly convinced it would be. So to get that news on top of the announcement today was the icing on the cake, wasn't it? So I think everything really, it fits quite nicely. And as Nath says, I mean, this season, we've put ourselves right back in the hunt in that top six. Yes, the teams around us have got some games in hand, but they're the ones that are going to feel the pressure now because they've got those games to try and pull away. We've been in that position ourselves earlier on in the season when we had a fair amount of games in hand over everybody else and we didn't take advantage of that. And there's no means to say that won't happen to the other sides. Donny just above us have lost Darren Moore as well, so going through a bit of a patch. And we've put ourselves in a good position now. The pressure's off of us, I think, a little bit. We've got back in that top six. The teams around us have got it all to play for. The pressure may hit them. All we can do is win what's in front of us. And under a manager like Nigel Adkins, who's got that experience, maybe we will make more of a cemented playoff push than we first planned. Because a few weeks ago, we were talking that, you know, maybe that top six dream was over and we'd have to maybe resign ourselves to another season in League One. That may still well be the case, but I think we've got a lot more of a shout now. There were positive signs on Tuesday, and I'm sure Nigel will want to build on that on Saturday. And having Johnny Jackson next to him as well, I think it's a huge positive for the football club.
Yeah, great that Jacko stayed, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about him shortly. Nathan, when we did this emergency podcast on Monday following the departure of Lee Bowyer, Nigel Adkins' name wasn't mentioned by anyone. It wasn't mentioned by us. It wasn't mentioned by anyone emailing in. You know, it's not. It's one that came a little bit out of the blue, you know, until sort of yesterday when all these all the odds started changing and whatnot. Slightly left field. I mean, is it expected? We've got some fans who are going to email in and say they're a bit underwhelmed. Other fans are very excited now, having looked a bit more into him. He's not probably like the household name that people were expecting at first, if we're being honest. I think, you know, under Thomas Sandgaard, he's whipped up this frenzy of excitement around the club since he's come into the place. That at the back of your mind, we're thinking, we're going to get the next Lionel Messi in manager form, you know. But you know, safe pair of hands, done it in this division. It's surprised by his arrival, considering no one really thought about it a couple of days ago.
Yeah, of course. I think, if we cast our minds back to that Tuesday, and we genuinely looked at that list and thought, right, which ones are realistically going to happen? I was saying, you know, if Thomas goes big with Wilder or, you know, how, then it's a big statement. But realistically, it wasn't really going to happen. And then you looked at all the other, what Laudrup was in there was, you know, he's, why were people, you know, wanting him that much when he's been out of the game for a long time? So, and then you come to the likes of, you have all the Harrises and all that jazz. But really, the only real ones that stuck out was going to be Jacko or Kurbishley. But people are going, well, oh, he's been out of the game for a while, you know, Adkins. But Kurbishley has, he's been out longer. So, yeah, I know he knows the club, et cetera, et cetera. So, but yeah, you're going to have to put people are underwhelmed, and that's, you know, that's fair enough. But it's down to Nigel and the players to obviously win that round, because no matter what appointment you're going to get, not everyone's going to be overwhelmed. You'll have, we could have got blooming, you know, Pep Guardiola, and people would have gone like, oh, we should really get someone who knows the club and knows the division and all that. You're never going to please anyone, everyone rather. But I think just give him time. You know, he's hardly get his feet under the table, and you know, people are not too happy. But let's hope that, you know, with the performances on the pitch, with his positive mindset, you know, he puts. It, I mean, it's been well documented that Lee has, you know, been quite vocal of some of the performances of some of the players. It doesn't look like Nigel's that sort of player. He's one of those, you know, really positive, gets the best out of players, encourages hard work, encourages doing it for the shirt, do it for the club, which is saying all the right things. And if, you know, along the way, if he can try and motivate the players, which I think he looks like he does, looking at the pictures that the club put out, looks like he's, you know, smiling and laughing with Darren Prattley, and I know it's a picture, but it looks like it's a really positive move, and only they can change it, and hopefully they can change the minds of the, you know, the doubters, which, you know, they're entitled to have that opinion. Of course they are. But let's hope that it gets off a good start on Saturday.
Yeah, well, it's 10 games to go, isn't it, Lewis? New manager bounce is a phrase that's thrown around a lot. Whether it's actually a phenomenon that actually exists, it's hard to say. But, you know, if it does, we could use that going into this run towards the end of the season. You know, he wasn't making any promises, was he, in the press conference that we're definitely going to make the playoffs, which is the sort of thing that Bo actually did. I remember when he first came in, he'd always sort of make quite brash promises and aim for the stars. But I think Nigel realises that we've got a very good chance if we can sort of hold our nerve and, you know, maybe get a bit of luck along the way in terms of the sides that are chasing us.
Yeah, exactly that. I think that, as we've said, he's coming in at a fairly critical time. There's 10 games left to play. We've got Wimbledon Saturday and then a bit of an international break, which would give him a good opportunity to sit back and assess what he has with him, what players we have, maybe what players you want to bring up from Jason's under-23s. There's a lot of potential at this football club. And obviously the club's been neglected for such a long time that it's a real transition period. And bringing in someone like Nigel Adkins, I mean, he oversaw a huge rebuilding exercise at Southampton when they had their issues. You know, the season before he was there, they'd started on minus points under Alan Pardew and had missed out on promotion. He came in and he got them promoted, and they were a real force to be reckoned with, and he got them all the way up to the Premier League. And there's no guarantees that story's going to repeat itself with us at all. You know, it could take twice as long. It might not happen under him whatsoever. But I think the main focus for now is going to be how we finish this season. And also, with the amount of players he has out of contract in the summer, like I say, the next kind of fortnight after this, after the Wimbledon game, it's going to be a good time for him to maybe sit down with Jacko and Andy Marshall and the rest of the staff and maybe start planning for the summer and what players he may want to keep beyond next season. And he's only going to have had a game under him at that point, so he's going to rely heavily on the likes of Jacko and Andy Marshall, and that further backs up why I feel it's even more important that they're staying. I don't know about Andy Marshall for sure, but Jacko definitely. And it's in our hands, as I say. I mean, we've got the capability to go on a run now, I think. We've got this game against Wimbledon on Saturday, which won't be as easy as maybe we all make out, because I know they're bottom, but we know how we tend to do against sides that are struggling. And then we've got a break to recharge, and then we hit a really heavy schedule where we play pretty much every side in the top 10. So it's going to be a real challenge. But also a very good opportunity for him to see what he's working with. And if we do end up, you know, getting in the top six at the end of the season, then I think we'll be fairly equipped for the playoffs. You know, if it doesn't happen this time around, then we've got a huge rebuilding job in the summer, which I think Nigel Adkins is a really good person to oversee.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, you mentioned the game against Wimbledon, of course. One thing that did warm me to Nigel during the press conference this afternoon was when he talked about going to Wimbledon and ticking off the new ground. I was like, oh, it's just like me. So obviously wants to do the 92 at some point. Yeah, mentioned Jacko there, of course. Lewis did, Nath. You know, I think it's no secret that word behind the scene this week has been very much that if Jacko didn't get the job, the managerial job, then he'd be off to Birmingham as well. You know, Lee wanted him there by the sounds of it. At times, it sounded like Jackson would probably go if he didn't get this job. Now, all of a sudden, he has stayed. So I'm guessing Thomas has said something to Jacko to persuade him to stay and to make out that, you know, one day this managerial job could well be his, but, you know, we want him to stick around. I mean, it's a massive thing for the fans. I mean, when I was talking to Jacko on Tuesday after the game against Bristol Rovers, and there were, you know, bits about whether I'm here or not, you know, indicating that he could leave, it was heart-wrenching to think that Jackson could not be part of this club.
Yeah, just on back onto Adkins quickly. He's probably ticking off the grounds, but I bet he don't have as many mugs as you've got. But
I don't know. It does strike me as a type who might have a mug collection. Who knows? Yeah. When I see him on Saturday, I'll ask him.
Yeah, but back onto Jacko. Yeah, I think it is important, obviously, for the fans aspect, because obviously what Jacko's done for the club, and he's been there and he's seen that he's done it, and he's obviously a legend here at the club, and rightly so. Also on the footballing side, I think it's so important having Jacko here, because coming in, so obviously Nigel will know, you know, he saw the game on Wednesday, and he'll probably know a few of the players that, you know, he mentioned Gunter in his presser, and he knows some of the players. He's not going to be blind to it, but there you're going to have little bits of snippets of information that Jacko will have on strengths, on weaknesses, how they've played, what they've done wrong, what they've tried, what they haven't tried. And that's going to be key to Nigel, especially for Saturday, because he's only going to have, what, a day? Tomorrow they're going to have a light session, probably set pieces and analysis. And then today he had the first intro session. So he's not going to be able to get all of his ideas across, or to see where we failed before. So I think it's key having Jacko there so he can be a shoulder to lean on and to get some information that he'll need and probably aid him in making decisions for Saturday and beyond. So, yeah, glad that Jacko's staying. I think it's the key to, and I think Nigel will probably be really happy that he's staying as well. So, yeah, positive for Jacko staying in both counts, on the footballing side and on a personal note as well.
Excellent stuff. Right, the man who has been making plans for Nigel this week is, of course, Thomas Sandgaard. We were saying on Monday's emergency podcast how fascinating this decision will be to see which way Mr. Sandgaard goes with it. His first managerial appointee since coming into football, taking over at the club. He was asked today during the press conference, Thomas Sandgaard, what it was about Nigel Adkins that made him give him the Charlton job.
That's obviously the number one for me. Nigel's experience is extremely important. But also Nigel's personality, very upbeat. Really, Nigel has a winning personality. And that's one of those things that you can't just put in a spreadsheet. it's really the impact we know that he's had in the past on players and staff, and that I want to repeat here at Charlton. What Nigel said a number of times, but this is very exciting times. It's very exciting times for Charlton. It's exciting times for the fans, as he also mentioned. This is all about the fans, and this is the fans' club that we will continue to play positive, attacking football. And I think with Nigel on board, we can not only expect that we'll keep increasing the probability that we'll be winning games and therefore increasing the probability of getting promoted. But we all, it's also one of those building blocks to be building for the future, where we'll be integrating the younger players from the academy even more than before, and start working even more with the individual players as to their personal development plans, etc., eventually getting us even better results on the pitch. So those are the things that really attracted me about Nigel. And as he said, for me, it was important to get clarity very quickly. He clearly stood out compared to the other candidates we were looking at here in the last few days. So for me, Nigel was an obvious choice.
What can you tell me about the recruitment process in place that led to the appointment of Nigel? You signed up to the Football Leadership and Diversity Code last November, of course.
Yeah, that's right. The process we've gone through, you could say softly started 6 or 8 weeks ago, where we I started looking at what would you consider a depth chart. So what's available out there in case you need to look at this? It's not just the players you need to do that with. The manager is just as important. So Nigel was obviously one of, I believe we had 5 or 6 that six people we or I interviewed, and of different diversity. I just went through the same process in on the women's team. We just appointed a new manager, a new head coach for our women's team, and it was pretty easy, having done all this preparation, to then get through an interview process with the top candidates and then getting into the final negotiating with Nigel Atkins. So it has fortunately not been a stressful process. Obviously you get taken a little by surprise when your manager takes another job and gives you just a few hours notice to react in. But because I was fairly prepared, it was not a stressful period to quickly get to the point of clarity. So clarity for the staff, for the players, and for the fans, that's always important.
Were you disappointed with how Lee Bowyer left the club? You mentioned there that you were left with a very little amount of time, a small short window in which to make an appointment, because it's a critical part of the season.
No, you can't really be that. It's when it comes to those type of issues, it's business. Right. And he obviously needed to make sure he had another job before you turn in your resignation. So just the nature of how that kind of things flows, that goes for any kind of business that you're in. Your employees are not going to tell you beforehand that they might take another job in 6 months, because it might impact their career. Right. So It's just the nature of it, and you just have to be prepared as an organization to deal with it. And fortunately, I believe I was in a good position to deal with it, and actually find probably the best person in the industry to take on the leadership here at Charlton, and keep building on rebuilding this club back to where it needs to be.
Do you regard Birmingham City, though, as a step up, a major step up from Charlton? I mean, it's possible that this summer you could swap divisions.
Yeah, I mean, just look at it objectively. We have a realistic chance of getting promoted. We would need to get to the playoffs, obviously. We won't get automatic promotion, but we have a realistic chance of getting promoted. And if Birmingham ends up getting relegated, we won't even be playing them next season. That's right, but... So we'll see how it all plays out. There's obviously 23 additional teams in each of those two divisions that will have a say on how that all goes.
There we go. Big Tommy there speaking to the press during the press conference earlier on today. Lewis, in obviously his first decision, you know, I said earlier, he's full of excitement and you know, he whips up this sort of frenzy around everything. But at the same time, obviously he'll lean on the likes of Jed Roddy, who Nigel has mentioned that he knows. They weren't at Reading at the same time, but they know each other through other ways. Obviously would have leant on him to make that decision. But, you know, it feels like Thomas, you know, he's not gone out and done something crazy, like giving the job to, I don't know, Dennis Romedahl or just some random Danish person. You know, he's gone to someone with a proven track record in League One, and what we're hoping will be a safe pair of hands for the job.
Yeah, exactly that. And as you rightly mentioned, with the decision, it is a huge decision for him to make fairly early on in his tenure. I mean, you go back to Roland, which, I mean, we don't want to compare the two, but we kind of do, because when Powell left, it was very much sort of who would come in, and he opted for someone he knew in Jose Riga, and the whole network circus then obviously went on and on. So with Thomas, it kind of felt, it was interesting to see what way he would go, because when I was seeing the likes of Michael Laudrup and stuff, you know, touted about, I was thinking, well, that's a strange one. And I do hope it isn't just because there's some Danish connection, because that would remind me of the Roland days. So it was huge. And obviously, from a fan's perspective as well, you're losing a manager that's been successful here. I mean, this season, of course, hasn't maybe gone the way we would have liked. But when you look at where we were in September, I don't think we're doing too bad. But it's a manager that holds a lot of fond memories. You know, as Tom and Nath mentioned, and yourself mentioned on the emergency pod, with Boya, you're not just losing a manager, you're losing a manager that was part of a huge stage of a lot of Charlton fans' lives, with that Wembley final and that season was, I know, as Tom said, some of the best times of my Charlton supporting life. And there'll always be that affiliation with Bo. And replacing that is never easy, because especially with Thomas, this man with ambition and the plan to get in the Premier League, the expectation and the bar is set by him as well as the supporters. So, you know, there's been mentions of people being slightly underwhelmed, etc. But as Nath said, you do have to kind of be realistic here. And I think out of the candidates that I saw on the betting odds, which you can never really go off massively, no names really were jumping out that were realistic, apart from, you know, maybe Danny Cowley. There was, you know, Chris Powell was in there for a bit. Wilder was there, but I didn't really see that happening. And Adkins wasn't really about. And when he started coming into it, I kind of remembered, actually. I was like, oh, I've completely forgot that he was out of work. And he does bring a lot. I mean, as we've said already, the achievements at Southampton and Scunthorpe were really impressive. And his sort of track record with promoting youth and building clubs. And you see the supporters. I mean, the people I've spoken to that are Southampton fans that I work with have got nothing but positive things to say about Nigel Adkins, and were pretty gutted when he was sacked and replaced with Pochettino. And you know, he got them in that position, and they've stayed there ever since. And I think he's someone that's good at building a foundation for a football club, and hopefully he can do that here. And I do think that Thomas has not just got a decent appointment at this level, but someone that can stick around for a while and help stabilise a club that's been neglected for so long.
We're talking to people who've got nothing but good things to say about Nigel Adkins. I have to say that one of the Charlton Live crew, does not form part of that group. Benji Cloak, right, so me and Nigel go back a long way, actually. He walked past me once back in 2012, getting on a train at Euston. And I remember that rung a bell, so I put it into Twitter and found the tweet. I said, Nigel Adkins just walked past us at Euston. He's getting on our train. Fascinating tweet from me back in the day. But then Benji said, good I ain't on your train. I hate the man. So, well, Benji Cloak, he's going to have to try and win him over now, isn't he? It's going to be an interesting battle of wits now between Nigel Adkins and our very own Benji Cloak on the pod, to see who comes out on top on that one. What do you reckon, Nath?
Oh, Benji's a hard man to please, I know that.
Yeah.
But to be fair to Benji, like, he, you know, at that time he probably wasn't his biggest fan. But I think Benji will be the same. I think if the performances start showing, and, you know, we're playing well, and, you know, the team playing well, and one thing that Benji wants, which is right and all, is that they give 100%, which is what we all want. And, you know, Benji's a very passionate lad, and I'm sure once we start seeing the performances of, you know, passion and you know, attractive football. I think he'll hopefully be won over. And but yeah, he's gonna, you know, Adkins knows he's gonna, you know, he needs to win his fans over. He probably knows that, but he's just going to be focused on delivering, and that's all we can judge him on, really, is the results. Mm.
And to be fair, Benji did send a text today in a group chat I'm in saying, although I can't stand listening to his voice, I found his interview quite refreshing. So I think Benji's just got something against Scousers. Right, we've got plenty of... it's from Birkenhead, actually, by the way, if anyone's interested. We've got plenty of tweets and emails that have come in. Like, again, hundreds. So again, as I say for every show at the moment, don't be offended if we don't read yours out, because we've got loads and loads of tweets and emails in. But feel free to have a look, particularly our Twitter mentions. You'll see the whole gambit of opinions that people have sent in to the show. I wanted to know what people thought about Nigel Adkins joining us at the Valley. So I'll just pick a few at random on Twitter. Big Tone said, when it first broke yesterday, I'm not going to lie, I was slightly underwhelmed. However, sleeping on it, speaking with supporters of Southampton and listening to his interview, I now have a new positive mindset looking forward to the future. And I'm glad that Johnny Jackson is staying as number two. Dan Dempsey saying, and I'm sure, however, he has a good history. 3 promotions in the lower leagues and only the Southampton one for the championship. Might be a tough ask for Wembley for this year, but I reckon we could defo push for automatics next year. Martin Adkins, who I'm guessing, Mark, you like, Nigel must be your dad or your uncle or something, your brother, says, I think it's utterly marvellous. The Charlton fan with the same surname.
I think that's his, I think Nigel Adkins is his son, you know.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm only joking, Mark.
We know Mark, we've met him before. Right, John says, I have to admit, not my first choice when I saw he was lined up, but very encouraged by his first interview and looking forward to seeing what he can bring to the club with his knowledge and experience at this level. Jacko staying is a major plus. I'm glad he decided to. Dave Samway says, Adkins has plenty of experience, which is a must. Probably most supporters would have been even more delighted that Jacko is staying as his assistant manager, which is important for continuity as well, as he knows the players more. Dave Boy says, when you get unrealistic names chucked about, it's a bandwagon, others jump on it. Let's face it, Wilder was never even on the radar. We've got an experienced manager in there backed up by Jacko, who knows the team and can be an asset to Nigel. 100% behind them. Excuse me again. I'm losing my voice for doing too many pods, too much going on. Sir Darcy says, I like the sound of this, Nigel. Someone must be one of the most qualified managers we've ever employed. I'm unsure how to react to a Charlton owner seemingly making a decision based on what's best for the club and not on the fact that we've got no cash. Yeah, it is. We do operate as a slightly different outfit now, don't we, Lewis? Like, we can actually make decisions and go out and get managers based on the fact, you know, it's not penny pinching, it's not, well, he was already at the club, you know, it's someone I'm hoping that Thomas, you know, has had an eye on for a while and sees it as sort of an aspirational appointee in his eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And as I say, someone that's not just going to be here for the now, but develop the club for the future. You know, whether he's the manager at that time or maybe Johnny Jackson does learn under him and step up in years to come, and the players in our academy that may be in the first team in a couple of years because he gave them the opportunity. You know, it's not just the manager for this season. It's what he can do going forward. And I think it's the first time in a long time, as that tweet says, that we're actually making decisions based on the actual future of our football club, rather than just, as you say, like scrimping and scraving just to get by and limping over the line. It's really refreshing. Like he says, you don't really know how to take it, making sensible decisions. It's out of our I can't remember the last time we made one. It's a bit confusing, isn't it, really?
Not the way we normally operate. We don't like change around here, do we? Right, Murray Anderson says, hi, guys. Nigel Adkins, as our new manager, is utterly underwhelming. He's one of those names hawked around whenever an EFL job becomes available. Other than the Southampton job, I'm not convinced that he's ever pulled up any trees at any of his previous clubs. I'd argue getting Scunthorpe into the Championship, especially when considering where they are now, is probably good. He strikes me as the sort of character who's been to a motivational business conference and has believed every word he's heard and spends the rest of his career regurgitating said motivational cliches in press conferences and team talks. We should have gone for a coach like Stendhal or promoted Yule and Jackson from within. I'm really concerned that Boyer left us for a basket case club rather than stay for another season and rebuild our team. We're supposed to be more stable, better run and better funded than we have been for years. So why did he leave? And why did Sandgaard fail to contact Johnny Jackson before the game on Tuesday. Jackson had to call Sandgaard to let him know he was taking the team for the Bristol Rovers match. All of this is setting off alarm bells for me. That's from Murray. Cheers for that, Murray. So, on the bow you're going, because a couple of bits that I think someone else tweeted in about that picking up that Thomas said, you know, he'd been looking at potential replacements for 6 to 8 weeks now, just as a backup plan. Someone mentioned, oh, maybe that's why Bo left. Maybe he knew that Thomas was doing that. I mean, judging by what Thomas said and taking him on face value, he's saying he was doing that because he wanted to have a backup plan and therefore he was ready with the wheels in motion to move quite quickly. Now, Murray asking why Bo is happy to jump ship to a club that, you know, on the face of it, isn't particularly well run, even if they are in the Championship. I think Thomas, you know, Thomas mentioned, as we heard in his clip, you know, they could swap. I don't think Thomas was saying that as, you know, taking a mick. He was just asked a straight question. He said, well, yeah, they could do. I mean, Nathan, does that concern you at all? Do you think Murray's reading too much into it, or do you think there could be something of note there?
No, in my opinion, I don't think there's much. I mean, I know, obviously, Bowyer obviously left, and I just think if you can only, I mean, I know it's only rumours before, but, I mean, Bowyer's been linked with other jobs before. It might continue going that way, and it may be one, I think it's more efficient, really, and actually quite clever of Thomas to be looking at, you know, backup plans, because if Bowyer all of a sudden did leave and he had nothing in mind, he wouldn't have been able to make this appointment. So, and then he could have been accused going, oh, well, he didn't see this coming, etc., etc. Bowyer could have been sold a promise by Burnham saying, well, we're not looking likely to stay up, so we might need a real rebuilding job here. We'll give you this. We don't really know, but I won't read too much into it. I think, I mean, if you look, again, we've touched on it already in terms of the other sort of candidates. Stendhal is a good one. I think that was mentioned on Monday or Tuesday, whenever it was. I can't remember. But I think that would have been a good one. But again, we don't know the terms. He might not have wanted to come, you know. So I can understand the concerns and, you know, the underwhelming elements that some people have, and especially with the motivational. But, you know, Nigel's not stupid. He's got a degree in business and finance. You know, he's obviously knows, he's worked his way up from physiotherapy. So he's got a lot of tools. That is, you know, management isn't just about picking 11 players and then hoping that you try to win a game of football. There's a lot more involved now in actually physically, you know, inverted commas, managing players. You know, you're not just managing football. You're managing personalities, egos, trying to get the best out of people and, you know, improving players. And that's the whole big picture. And I think, in my opinion, you know, Nigel fits all that criteria. So
yeah, I mean, obviously, I know all about trying to manage egos running this show. Unfortunately, I haven't worked out how to improve people, Nath. But you know, keep plugging away, mate. Keep plugging away.
That's all that matters, mate. You know, I can only try, mate.
Mike Bramley said it could be an inspired signing. Too late for this season to achieve promotion, but at least it may create a more positive vibe around the dressing room. Jacko will learn loads from Adkins. Bowyer had lost it for the last 3 months. I'm pleased he's moved on. I'm sure he'll do well at Birmingham. I wish him all the best. Who can forget Wembley 2019? P.S. Been one heck of a week for Charlton this week. Onwards and upwards. Love the Charlton Live Emergency podcast. That's from Mike Bramley. Cheers, Mike. We've got a few more emails, so I'm going to possibly save for Sunday, you know, try and spread them out a bit, because I don't want this show to go on for hours upon hours. And we do need to have a look back at the game against Bristol Rovers. And ahead to the one, of course, with AFC Wimbledon, our first visit to the new Plough Lane this weekend. So I'm going to take a quick break, try and get my voice to recover from all this talking I've had to do this week. When we come back, we'll have a quick look back at that game against Bristol Rovers.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes. It's a shot. Oh, great free kick. Oh, the power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's past him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half time, make it two. That you're going to be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest. Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Officially, this is the big match preview show, I guess, but it's more of a special episode to welcome Nigel Adkins to the club, the new manager signing a 2.5-year deal at the Valley, assisted by Johnny Jackson. Looking forward to his first game on Saturday. We've heard from him and from Thomas Sandgaard so far on this evening's episode. Don't forget, though, on Tuesday, we actually had a game of football against Bristol Rovers. Johnny Jackson took the side as caretaker manager, and well, he ends that spell with a 100% win ratio. Let's have a listen back to the goals from Valley Pass. Your commentators, Steve Brown, alongside Greg Snubley and Terry Smith.
Brook is just trying to pick a pass forward to Younger, edge of the penalty area. It's well covered by Martin and Pierce, but Younger strong in the challenge, and it's a penalty, I think, Medley's given because of Martin's charge into what must have been a Younger in the penalty box. Younger went over and the referee's given the penalty.
Well, it's Leahy for Bristol Rovers who's going to take this penalty,
and it's into the top right hand corner of the net beyond Amos, who dived the other way. And Bristol Rovers are 1-0.
Younger into Nicholson, and now Upson. Upson with the shot, it's taken a deflection and has wrong footed Ben Amos. And Bristol Rovers do indeed have that second.
I'm not sure that's taken a deflection, actually, Greg. I think it's just the movement of the ball.
Washington, ball towards the far post, is cleared away. Shinny will have it again on the edge of the box. On his left foot, strikes and scores! That's a lovely finish from Andrew Shinny. And Charlton are back into it.
And that is exactly what the doctor ordered. We so needed that. It's a fantastic strike from Shinny.
Borsakowski to take over the wall, and it's in!
That was the side to go. It was markedly smaller. But the keeper's made the wall bigger on his side. Explain that to me. He's made the wall bigger on the right-hand side, even though he's covering the right-hand side.
Upson with the header forward. Shinny, though, will meet it and trying to send Anike on his way. It's a header back. It's a risky one. And Washington with a touch off the post, and he gets the rebound and buries it for Charlton. I think it was Kilgore with a risky touch back towards the keeper. Read by Washington. Got there first. Needed the touch off the post to then bury the third goal for the Addicts.
And the comeback is absolutely complete. I know we've still got time to run for them to find an equaliser, but that is a super comeback.
Send this in. It's a low one and cleared away by Forster-Kaski. Can Anike get there? Dave will have to jump with this. And foot. Anike gets his head there first. Is that a red card? Yes, it is. As Day just cleaned out Jackson Anike, who's so brave in getting there first. I almost choked when I saw the clash. And Anike still down. And unfortunately, for Bristol Rovers, Day's got to go.
He has to go. And I tell you what, that is extremely brave of Chuckster. He never took his eye off the ball for one moment, knowing he was going to take an absolute hit.
Pierce and Famwo there to deal with it. And it doesn't matter because there's the whistle from referee Medley. And Charlton have got the victory. Johnny Jackson's first victory as manager.
Well, well, well. What an absolutely magic evening that was at the Valley. And for those of you watching at home as well, you know, coming from 2-0 down and to win it late on, you know, under the stewardship of Jacko. I think one of the games that, you know, I'd certainly haven't celebrated too many goals as much as I had that third goal inside the Valley so far this season, because the will to win for Jacko, for me, was just massive. And obviously coming back from 2-0 down as well, as a, you know, fairly typical of I'd say all of our home performances this season, Lewis. I wouldn't say it was that different to many under Bow, really. You know, we went behind, mistakes that cost us. Ian Martson giving away a penalty that looked clear cut to me. Ben Amos, don't know what on earth he was doing for the second goal, just caught out by the swerve, it seemed, a little bit. But then we came back into it, and unlike the Swindon or the Plymouth or the Rochdale games, we actually went on to find a winner late on as well.
Yeah, we did. And as you say, the disappointing start, and I was kind of head in the hands for Jacko straight away, because, you know, when you see 2-0 down and given our our home record this season. It wasn't really looking too promising, but to get back into it before half time as well, it was a real great character and two great goals as well from Shinny and from Jake as well. Two quality finishes and found ourselves back in it. And that second half was a real determined and a real passionate performance. And we ended up getting our reward for it and winning the game late on. And yeah, I mean, I think there was a reaction. I think in that second half, I think that was a really spirited display. And I think we really did perform well. And it just do the players the world of good as well to know, you know, we've been in that position a few times and we've not, as I mean, it was a stat was, wasn't it, to come back from behind. The last time we did that was the playoff final.
Yeah, you know? And to win a game having conceded the first goal. Obviously, we came from behind to be like Wimbledon and stuff. But yeah, that's the first time that we've won a game having conceded first since the playoff final, which is incredible because the amount of goals we concede, you think we've had a chance to try that loads of times. Nathan, obviously, the team news beforehand, Watson and Prattley on the bench, Forster, Caskey and Shinny coming in, and all of a sudden, even though it did take that half an hour, I thought we were dreadful in the opening half an hour or so, but all of a sudden we had a midfield that looked quite mobile and creative, and you know, the two of them got on the score sheet with excellent finishes to haul us back level before half time, and that was big as well, because I think if we'd been 2-0 down for much longer than we were, I think we would have struggled to, you know, mentally grow back into that game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the only, when the team come out, I mean, it was positive to say the least. And but my only concern was just that little bit of discipline in the middle of the pitch, which I know some people not a fan of Prattley or Watson all playing together. But I felt that it's just whether or not the discipline was going to be there in the centre of the pitch, and if we'd get overrun. And the first, obviously, the second goal. Again, it's just like another pop shot and it's gone in, and I'm sitting there thinking, have we gone a bit too gung-ho here? But luckily for us, we kept playing and they looked knackered after a while. Bristol, they looked on their feet and they just sat deeper and deeper and let us play, and it was inevitable for me that we was going to win the game. But as you say, the goal just before half time, which was an absolute teckers from Shinny Esther, which, listen, he's doing week in, week out, more or less, when he plays. He's always involved, and it was so key to get that goal. And even though it was disappointing going 2-0 down, when we got the 2-1 back, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't panicking, really. It was just interesting. Saying, are we going to do it this time? And luckily we did. But yeah, no, he went positive. He did go positive. I'd be surprised if he does it again, or if Nigel does that on Saturday. But yeah, I think it's going to be hard to drop whoever, you know, if he does bring Ben or Pratt's back in to give it a little bit more discipline, it's going to be hard to drop any of them.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, obviously, we can't skirt around the issues at the back again, Lewis. You know, that challenge from Martin was probably unnecessary and a clear penalty. I want to talk about Ben Amos, actually. Now, there's been quite a few long shots where, you know, I have sort of said, you know, sometimes it's a good hit and there's not a great deal the goalkeeper can do about it. I'm not going to say that for Tuesday, I should say, for Ed Upson's shot from long range. I mean, yeah, it swerved, but I mean, Ben will be very disappointed with himself because, I don't know, he will certainly feel he could have done better there.
100%. Yeah, I mean, from the first glance watching it at home, I thought maybe it had taken a deflection or something, but obviously on second viewing, that wasn't the case. And it's a real shame because we know how good of a keeper Ben Amos can be. You know, he had that stint earlier on in the season where we had all those clean sheets on the spin. He was outstanding for us in our season, you know, the first sort of half season under Bo, when we lost to Shrews in the playoffs. That season he was fantastic when he came in. So we know he can do it, and it's not been disappointing every game, but as you say, sometimes there have been the odd occasion where I do think like maybe he could have done better, and it does seem to be the long rangers that catch him out. I mean, we're like renowned for conceding screamers, aren't we, at the Valley especially? But as you say, I don't think you could really consider Tuesday nights as a screamer. I just think he got caught out. Maybe he thought it was going to go one way and he committed his body, but it just looked like he was completely lost and fell backwards. But, you know, it was very incredibly disappointing. I mean, I was sort of baffled as to how it had gone in, but, you know, it's just as well we managed to claw ourselves back into the game before the break, because then we had the second half to recover.
Now, and obviously we've been singing the praises of Connor Washington, his fourth goal in 8 days at the Valley, Nathan, this week. And, you know, I mean, we've been saying how much we've enjoyed him, but even I didn't think he had the audacity to try and play a 1-2 with a post before scoring a goal. I mean, that's just taking a mick.
Yeah, I think we spoke about, I can't remember which one it was. I don't know if it was Monday, it must have been the one before, talking about how when we play Jaden and Chucks together, I think we become a bit too one-dimensional. And Connor offers us something different. And I think he does that. He kept going on the shoulder and he was pulling out. It's his work ethic which impresses me. I mean, Nigel Atkins had someone before when he got Martin Patterson in, I think it was, and he's a similar player. So I think Nigel knows what he's going to get with Connor. Sometimes you don't get both. Sometimes you don't get a player that works hard for the team and can finish. You usually get that, you know, the workhorse, and then everyone else reaps the rewards. But it's good to see that Connor's, you know, pulling up trees now. And he's doing well. Good finish from Connor. Just doing a cheeky little 1-2, which is quite... If he tried doing that again, I bet he wouldn't do it. But I'm just thinking about bravery of Connor. It's just that header from Chucks when he got sent off, absolute machine. I don't even know why the keeper done it. I wouldn't even bother trying to get that from Chucks, to be honest. I was going, go on, mate, you have it. But pleased for Connor, though, because he got criticised. I don't think he'd done too much wrong. I don't think we were playing to his strengths personally, but he's come back a better player. He looks sharp, he looks fresh, and he looks fit. So, yeah, more of the same would be brilliant.
Non-stop running, isn't it, you get from Connor Washington, and glad to see he's continued with the goals as well. Excellent haul he's had this week, four-goal haul in the space of 8 days at the Valley. Just before we look ahead to Wimbledon, Lewis, we should mention, obviously, because it was Jacko's team, they very much played in the Jacko spirit, didn't they? I said it to him afterwards, you know, asking him, did he think that his playing style almost rubbed off on him because they, you know, 2-0 down, coming back to 3-2. How many times did we see that when Jacko was playing? You know, Cardiff, obviously the one that stands out. Remember that one away at Sheffield Wednesday where we saw the hat-trick from Marvin Sordell. That never-say-die spirit is something that Jacko absolutely epitomised during his spell. And scoring free kicks as well, because I thought that one he scored against Sheffield Wednesday, I think Jake's free kick just before half-time to make it 2-2 wasn't too dissimilar to that.
No, not at all. I think I tweeted that out at the time, actually. It was a free kick that Jacko would have been proud of, that's for sure. And you're right. I mean, the performance overall, as you say, the first half hour wasn't that great. We got ourselves in a bit of a bad position. We showed the spirit to get back into it just before half time. And then that second half showing was fantastic. And we created so many chances. And as you say, that never say die attitude that Jacko had as a player, I felt really rubbed off on the side. And obviously we left it a little bit late, but we managed to sneak a winner in. And just touching on what Nay said there with Connor, I mean, he's just been fantastic, hasn't he, recently? And that, again, that's a real showing of players that you want around the place, because he's taken the criticism and he's gone with it and he's bettered himself. And he's turning into a real key player for us at the moment. So, yeah, I was really happy Tuesday night. And probably the same feelings to you, really, that it was more than just the win. It was also that win for Jacko, because... It was weird. I felt quite proud to see him as the manager, because he's been around for so long, and he's a club legend, you know. And it felt, as you say, it was a Jacko performance without him being on the pitch. And massively pleased, and a 3-2 win coming from behind as well. It will do the players the world of good for confidence, and we'll go into Saturday now with a real spring in our step, and hopefully that'll kick us on from there.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's talk about Saturday then, Nathan. Wimbledon are not quite rock bottom. They're sitting third from bottom, 2 points shy of safety. They've got a game in hand on all the sides around them. Everyone around them has played 35. Wimbledon are on 34. But I have to say, they're not playing particularly well at the moment. They've gone 7 games, is it, without a win, or 6 games, I should say. Last win was a 1-0 home win over Gillingham back on the 23rd of February. Got points off Bristol Rovers and Wigan recently, sides around them, you know, that they'll look at that as something, I guess, but really they need to start turning these into threes. Now, a Charlton side going to a Wimbledon team on the back of the run we're on, and don't forget, we are on a run now. You know, Bo promised we would be on one, and we are. We're on 5 games unbeaten, won 3 of those, drawn 2, you know, quietly snuck back into the playoff places. You know, not we don't get carried away when I have, but, you know, because the sides around us still have at least two games in hand. But we are on a run, and if we keep that up under Big Nige, then maybe we have got a chance of sneaking in. So it's going to be a fascinating game on Saturday.
Yeah, it will be. I think, obviously, AFC and obviously the recent games, there's not been a lot of goals in it. They've drawn a lot of 1-0s, 0-0s, 1-0s, and, you know, the likes like that. So, but yeah, I mean, with Wimbledon, they are what they are. They try and be organised. They try and keep it tight. And I mean, but the main threat really is Joe Piggott, isn't it? So if you can keep Joe quiet, because, I mean, he scored a worldie against us at the home game. If you can keep him quiet, then you're probably going to get a result from the game. So I think that's going to be the key. And I think Joe will probably, you know, if there's a chance there that we give him, like we have done in recent games and did on Tuesday, if we give him a chance, he's going to take it. Well, so
he's in a bit of a goal drought at the moment, actually. Mm. He's looking, he's in eight games without a goal. But obviously, that means nothing when you're playing your former club. that'll be fascinating. I mean, from a Charlton point of view, Lewis, you know, we saw those two changes that were made on Tuesday, and I think, you know, people were quite pleased with that, even though, you know, defensively we made some mistakes. I wonder if Purrington might be given another chance ahead of Martson after, you know, after that error. You know, is there any change? Would you agree with that? Is there any changes you'd like to see Big Nige make? You know, I guess when you're a new manager, do you want to try and shake things up too early in your first game before you've really got to know the players?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I agree. I think Purrington is probably the change I'd like to see. I mean, he wasn't on the bench the other night, so I don't know if there's a fitness issue there. With Mattson, he's made a couple of errors, and at the moment, maybe he's having a bit of a patch. He could do with coming out of the side, and Ben's looked fairly stable when he's been in there. So that's the change I'd like to see. But I mean, apart from that, going off the back of Tuesday, you know, a win, I don't think I'd really want to change it. I liked the creative setup we had in midfield. I did feel we were maybe a little bit exposed, as Nave said, just having that sort of assurance and backup, having one of Prattley or Watson maybe playing at the base or slotting in the centre somewhere to protect the back four. But apart from that, I don't think I'd change it. Maybe unless Chucks came in over Stockley, but to play alongside Washington. But apart from that, I'd keep it fairly similar. I thought the midfield worked quite well. I think if I was to make a change in the midfield, if I had to, I'd maybe take Albie out for Prattley just for that, just for a little bit of shoring up defensively. But off the back of a win, I don't think you'd want to change it. And with Nigel as well just coming in, I think he maybe won't have a huge amount of time to stamp his authority just yet. It might be a good, just another game of Jacko kind of putting his team forward and Nigel assessing what he's got. And then, like we said earlier on, he's got that international break to maybe work out a more longer term way of setting up the team.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've already gone over time on this week's Charlton Live, the big match preview, sort of, whatever it is you want to call this show, the Nigel Adkins arrival special. So we're going to cut it off there. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday after the AFC Wimbledon game. Hopefully get to speak to Nigel after the game, of course. We'll have all the reaction to whatever happens over at Plough Lane, our first visit to Plough Lane. Looking forward to that game very much. But for now, we will say goodbye. So thank you to Nathan, to Lewis for joining me.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate. Good to have
you,
Alex.
Yeah, good to have you both with me. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.